WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For most of their careers, Robert Redford and Warren Beatty have followed parallel tracks. Both were big romantic leads in the 60s and 70s, both were famous for their political liberalism, and both became Oscar-winning directors. In a strange coincidence, both men have directed and starred in movies that just opened. Redford's The Horse Whisperer is an adaptation of the best-selling novel, and Beatty's Bulworth is a political comedy set during the last presidential election. Film critic John Powers reviews both films.
Robert Redford's new movie, The Horse Whisperer, is an example of a big star playing it safe. It stars Kristin Scott Thomas as Annie McLean, a brusque New York magazine editor whose adolescent daughter Grace has a ghastly accident while horseback riding. Grace loses a leg, and her horse Pilgrim is both physically and emotionally scarred. Hoping to help Grace by helping Pilgrim, Annie drives the three of them out to the Montana ranch of Tom Booker. That's Redford, a so-called horse whisperer, who's able to get inside the minds of troubled horses. Predictably, he and Annie fall in love. The Horse Whisperer is being described as a women's film, a phrase that's never meant kindly. Personally, I find the picture insulting to women. Its heroine, Annie, is that favorite cliché, the bitchy, brittle career woman who's hollow inside. Just a few weeks in Montana with Tom Booker, and she's ready to chuck her whole life in publishing to become his moll. Even worse, the movie explicitly compares Annie and her daughter to Pilgrim. They're all wounded animals, you see. They all need Booker, who's able to heal the troubled mind of horses and women by giving them a rapt, soulful gaze, rather like the one Charlie Rose bestows on writers for the New York Times. The Horse Whisperer exists to glorify Booker, and by extension, Redford himself. Scene after scene is the same. Booker takes charge, always does the right thing, and inevitably gets the last word, as when he tells Annie and Grace his conditions for working with Pilgrim.
I have to be honest with you. I still feel you've made a long trip for nothing. But before I even think about it, I need to know something right now. And it's a question for Grace. You see, when I work with a horse, it's no good just me doing it. The owner's got to be involved, too.
Well, that'll be a little complicated.
You can make it as complicated or as easy as you like. But she's the one that's going to be riding him. Am I right? Hey, right? Now, here's the deal. I don't know that I can do anything. But I'm prepared to give it a go if you'll help. Well, you have a problem with that?
Isn't it, like, obvious?
Not to me. Either you want to or you don't.
Look, I'll talk to
Excuse me, with all due respect, this is her decision, not yours. Now, I don't want to waste anybody's time here. Mostly mine.
Booker behaves this way throughout the movie, which seems designed to refurbish Redford's image as the sensitive, romantic man of the West. And this self-aggrandizement doesn't stop with the dialogue. It's also present in the worshipful photography, which bathes him in flattering light and captures him in heroic Marlboro man poses. Once Redford comes on screen, the Horse Whisperer turns into a piece of reactionary kitsch. Put simply, this is the first male Barbra Streisand movie. Warren Beatty takes precisely the opposite tack in the new comedy Bulworth. He takes huge risks, and the result is his best and funniest picture in nearly two decades. The movie's set during the dreary 1996 elections. Beatty is Jay Bulworth, a Democratic senator up for re-election in California. Aware that he's a hack, Bulworth hates his life so much that he's hired a hitman to kill him. Under the pressure of this moment, he has a breakdown, or maybe a breakthrough. He starts saying what he actually thinks. His first outbreak occurs at a black church in L.A.
Any questions?
Riots and civil unrest went down about 4 years ago. You promised us federal funding to rebuild our community. What happened?
Oh, what happened was that we all knew that was going to be big news for a while, so we all came down here, Bush, Clinton, Wilson, all of us. We got our pictures taken, told you what you wanted to hear, and we
pretty much forgot about it. Isn't that obvious? Hey, you got half of your kids out of work and the other half are in jail. Do you see any Democrat doing anything about it? So what are you going to do, vote Republican? I mean, come on.
you can have a billion man march. If you don't put down that malt liquor and chicken wings and get behind somebody other than a running back who stabs his wife, you're never going to get rid of somebody like me.
From this moment on, Bulworth really cuts loose. And after a night at a black nightclub in Compton, he starts talking in rhyme, insulting corporate contributors, offending pro-Israel Hollywood bigwigs, and making a farce of a political debate. He even finds a love interest in Halle Berry's character, a smart, beautiful chick who talks knowingly of Huey Newton. Between his newfound honesty and his newfound love, Bulworth now has a reason to live. Unfortunately, he started a process that has people trying to kill him. Part of what makes Bulworth so fun is its star's willingness to scuttle his usual cool image. Beatty lets himself look old, and he's unafraid to be ridiculous, dancing around clumsily, rapping maladroitly, dressing in goofy hip-hop garb. Beatty's never been a man to let himself go, and you can sometimes see him struggling to seem loosey-goosey. But he does turn Bulworth into a memorable figure, a powerful man who must descend into madness in order to recapture his true sanity. There's something almost Shakespearean in such a trajectory, which has comic coincidences, sudden conversions, and even a wise fool, an old black man of the streets, played by Amiri Baraka. Rather like Jackie Brown, Bulworth is charged with a white guy's fascination with the flamboyance of African-American culture. But where Quentin Tarantino is drawn to black style, Beatty's interest in black life is inescapably bound to politics. In fact, Bulworth is the first genuinely political Hollywood movie in years. Forget about John Travolta's loose zipper in Primary Colors, or Wag the Dog's breezy cynicism. This is a serious comedy about issues. How money runs politics. How black life has been decimated and our politicians don't really give a damn. How American discourse has become a big con game. Rich journalists covering rich politicians on media outlets owned by the rich. And it's a movie about how those in power will punish any politician who wins an audience by saying those things. I can't pretend that Bulworth is flawless. The hitman plot's badly managed, and the love story's unconvincing. But in a way, this doesn't matter, for both are ultimately a pretext for Beatty to say what he wants to say about race, money, politics, even the wretched state of current Hollywood movies. Just as Jay Bulworth's breakdown finally lets him talk sincerely, so this darkly exuberant comedy, one of the best in years, has allowed Beatty to pull off something that Redford didn't bother to attempt. He's made a movie that matters.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.